Our text for this evening's meditation is from Hebrews chapter 11. These words, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Christian life, our life in Christ, is one of faith. One of faith. We live by faith, not by sight. So 2 Corinthians 5. What does that mean? Does that mean that we live by faith and not by sight? It means that we live not necessarily trusting that what we see and what we hear and what we experience is actually the reality of our situation. Luther notes, for example, that when we view the body of a Christian at a funeral, our eyes tell us, taking in the body there, in the casket, our eyes tell us that person is dead. But faith in Christ, faith created by the Holy Spirit within us, tells us that that person in the casket there is not dead but alive. Their souls in heaven with Jesus, their bodies simply that which will return to dust, but then be completely restored on the last day. As Christians, we live by faith. Not by sight. What the Word of God promises us, we believe. So Abraham. Abraham was promised that through his son Isaac, specifically through his son Isaac, the nations of the world would be blessed. How would the nations of the world be blessed through Isaac? The Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world would be born within the line of Isaac, would be one of Isaac's descendants. Abraham believed that promise. So even as God himself seemed to be acting against that promise, even though God himself had told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, to sacrifice Isaac to him, Abraham, so the Word of God tells us, Abraham moved forward, believing that God would be able to raise Isaac from the dead. Why? Because God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises to us. God is faithful to us. Even though we so often, almost daily, we're not faithful to God. How are we not faithful to God? By doubting his promises to us. His promises like, I'm with you always. His promises like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is the righteousness of God. And all of these things will be added to you. Abraham had believed the promises of God concerning Isaac. Abraham had waited 25 years for the birth of Isaac, and then Abraham believed that even if his son Isaac would be sacrificed to God by his own hand, that Isaac would be raised from the dead so that God would keep his promise to him. We, again, in contrast, so often are unfaithful, doubting God's promises to us. Now, why? Why do we do that? Why do we doubt those promises? Well, it's because we live by sight, not by faith. We live by sight, not by faith. Daily, we stare at our televisions, stare at our computers, we stare at our laptops, our tablets, our phones, looking for the reality of the world around us. Watching the news, the images of the world that are so horrific, visiting this website, visiting that website, hoping somehow to gain a bit of knowledge, a bit of insight, a bit of help to understand exactly what is going on in the world and what we should be doing to somehow get ahead in the world. But remember how the world was going to end? Remember that, how the world was going to end when the American armed forces invaded Kuwait and then Iraq, resulting pollution from the oil rigs set on fire, predicted to throw the entire world into some sort of perpetual winter? Remember that? Remember how everything was supposed to collapse? Society itself, banking and business and education, everything. Remember how everything was going to collapse at the stroke of midnight, December 31st, 1999. Remember that? Because of a computer glitch. How about when all the planets aligned? Remember that one? These are extreme cases, of course. Cases where our life by sight was so wrong. And it's not that we don't live from day to day to day by sight. In fact, we have to live by sight, using our eyes to determine where we are, where we're going, what we're doing. And in that we live in the creation itself, in that created by God, our eyes are wonderful instruments for us to use to understand what's going on all around us. Our eyes are, after all, wonderful gifts of God to us. The problem, the challenge, the dilemma for us is when our eyes, that is what we see in this world, and our faith in the promises of God to us come into conflict. They clash. That's the conundrum which we face. Celebration of Christmas comes to mind here, doesn't it? I mean, it does seem like the more the world has embraced the celebration of Christmas, the fewer the people there are in the churches celebrating it. It does seem like the more the world has embraced the celebration of Christmas, the fewer the people there are in the churches celebrating it. Are Sunday services across the nation this year going to be canceled like they were the last time Christmas Day fell on a Sunday? So that Christian families need not go to church to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, which is what we do weekly, but can stay home and celebrate the birth of Christ by indulging themselves? It's not that Christmas has become so commercialized. It is that Christmas has become more a matter of sight than of faith. For the Christmas of sight is the Christmas of Christmas trees and presents, and decorations, and delicacies, sweets, cakes, travel, families, clothing, television shows, Christmas specials, and all sorts of other things that have become the Christmas of sight. And the Christmas of faith? Christmas of faith is the Christmas of God who became man in Jesus Christ, so that we as men, as human beings, could once again be with God, like Adam and Eve in the garden. Now, we can't see that, but we never have been able to see that. For even if we had been there in Bethlehem itself and had seen the baby Jesus with our eyes, that is, taking him in with our sight, we still would have had needed to adore him, to worship him with the faith in our heart. For only faith would declare at seeing a baby in a manger, there is God. There's the very creator of the world. There is my forgiveness. There is my justification. There is my Savior, my King, and my Lord. Christmas of sight is a picture postcard of the manger in Bethlehem, the Christmas of faith, the confession. Christ the Savior is born. So the Christmas of faith is the promise of God through Christ. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men, with whom he is pleased. Sure, we all make compromises here. We try to align in our houses and homes and families the Christmas of the world, that of sight, with Christmas itself, that of faith. Faith which grasps the promises of God all wrapped up in that little baby Jesus. Challenging then can be the Christmases when a loved one's in the hospital, when a family is breaking apart, when a husband or wife has died after many years of marriage and they are no longer there for Christmas. Challenging the Christmas when no one wants to take the time or make the effort to visit anyone else, or when it just doesn't seem to make much sense at all to even celebrate Christmas in our homes anymore. But at such times, what are we doing? But simply mourning the loss of the Christmas of sight, the Christmas of the world, the Christmas of this decoration and that food and that gift. For the Christmas of faith, it's in our hearts and remains in our hearts. The Christmas of faith is the true reality of Christmas. The Christmas of faith ignores the Christmas, which is that of the world, and simply kneels by the manger in the stable in Bethlehem with the shepherds in humble awe that the promises of God throughout the Old Testament were fulfilled in the birth of God in the baby Jesus. Like Abraham, then, we live by faith, not by sight. Yes, we see the world with our eyes. The eyes being the lamps of our body, as Christ taught us in the Sermon on the Mount. The eyes being a doorway into our hearts and souls and minds. But we simply don't live by what we see in the world. We live as Christ also taught. By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But for us to live in that way, according to every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, we must hear those words like Abraham. And believe those words, like Abraham, that they are true. Here we individually cannot accept any characterization of Christianity by the world, which more and more and more seems to lampoon Christians as backwoods doofuses, reading the Bible in a simplistic fashion to justify thinly this, that, or the other archaic idea. Here our reaction should not be to separate ourselves from such characterizations of Christianity, but actually to dive back into the Word of God, into the Bible, to discover what, in fact, is in that book. For if we live by faith, and faith in the promises of God, as did Abraham, it would be appropriate for us, first and foremost, to learn what, in fact, those promises of God to us actually are. We should certainly not run away from the criticism of the world that Christians blindly live by faith if we ourselves haven't taken the time to read what, in fact, we have faith in. Abraham knew what, in fact, God had promised him concerning his son Isaac, so could move confidently, even when told by God to sacrifice him on an altar to him. We too should therefore know what the promises of God toward us actually are concerning his son Jesus, who God, in fact, did sacrifice on the cross for us. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the canticle.